These 2 weeks are something else. Bishop Barron calls them the preacher's nightmare. Trinity and Corpus Christi Sunday. I mean, what can be said about three persons who make up one God? It doesn't make any sense. Augustine wrote that if someone were trying to explain the Trinity to you, it really wouldn't be the Trinity that they're explaining at all. And the same is true for the Eucharist. Bread becoming flesh and wine becoming blood. The problem is that they don't taste like flesh and they don't taste like blood. So what do we do? How can we possibly wrap our hands around something so unfathomable as the body and blood of Christ? Chesterton, when speaking of the Trinity, and I think can be equally said of the mystery of the Eucharist, once wrote, "The reason I believe in Christianity is precisely because of its belief in the Holy Trinity." And I propose the Eucharist too. "If Christianity were invented by a human being," he explains, "it wouldn't have at its center concepts so impossible to reach or explain. The fact that it is inexplicable makes it completely of God." This is where I find myself over and over again as I consider the body and blood of Christ. As I arrive again with you at another Corpus Christi Sunday. This is where I find myself over and over again when I celebrate Mass, Eucharist, transubstantiation, Holy Communion, the bread and wine that becomes the body and the blood. I say Mass pretty much every day, sometimes two and three and occasionally four times a day. And I am no more prepared than any of you to explain the change that takes place in the body and the blood, in the bread and in the wine. How does Jesus really become present in the Eucharist? If I stood up here and tried to explain it to you, it wouldn't be the Eucharist that I was explaining. It would be my own perspective on something that is a mystery. And yet, I can't imagine what my life would be like without it. Without Holy Communion, I'd be totally lost, and life would be really boring. I have a book on my shelf that I picked up some years back when I was learning about the Oxford Movement. This was a period that spanned the 1830s to about the 1870s in England, and it was a reflowering of Catholic identity in Great Britain, which had become almost entirely Protestant. Cardinal John Henry Newman was a giant in the Oxford Movement. Chesterton was a disciple of the Oxford Movement. So this book that I bought is a collection of sermons of a much lesser known Oxford Movement figure, a convert who became a Catholic priest by the name of Father Ronald Knox. And one of his sermons, I think, so clearly conveys this idea of our sheer inability to not only explain the mystery of the Eucharist, but even more so, our obvious inability to fully live out our Eucharistic charge that comes from reception of Holy Communion. Listen to what Father Knox writes on the Eucharist. "Throughout our 2,000 years of Christianity, we've been able to ignore many of Jesus' key commandments. We've either been too weak or we've been too quick to rationalization. And so, to a large extent, we've exempted ourselves from the command to love our enemies, to forgive 70 times 7, to see mercy as equal in importance to dogma, to not lie, to not talk behind each other's backs, to not covet each other's possessions. We Christians," Father Knox explains, "in virtually every commandment have a sad history of failure. But interestingly, we have remained faithful throughout the centuries to at least one of Jesus' commands, the celebration of the Eucharist, to meet together in every age and in every manner of life, to share the word of God and to share the body and blood of Christ, despite our obvious spiritual and theological deficiencies, he concludes, for 2,000 years, we've never stopped celebrating the Eucharist. Now, this is very comforting to me. Humanity has a particular inclination for criticism and societal correction. If the Eucharist were false, we surely would have figured it out by now and long ago discarded the Mass for something else that gives us a window into God. This idea that we remain faithful to celebrating the Eucharist is the point of Corpus Christi Sunday. The Eucharist, Holy Communion, the body and blood of Christ, manna from heaven, it's the one constant that no matter how messed up we've become, no matter how many mistakes we make, no matter if we can grasp the weight of the mystery or not, the one thing that we keep doing is gathering here in this place to celebrate the Eucharist. And this is really important. It's the greatest single act of faith you could ever express. To come back Sunday after Sunday when you're excited about it and when you don't feel like it. When it's interesting and when it's boring. When the homily is profound and when the padre struggles to make a point. When we believe with total clarity and when it seems totally impossible to believe. To come back to this place Sunday after Sunday after Sunday is the surest mark of not only faith, but also our identity as Catholics. And I think it certainly must please God. I found myself many times in counseling appointments with couples struggling in their marriages. This has happened many, many times in my priesthood, and they say the same thing. The situation goes usually something like this. Oh, we've grown so distant that I'm not sure I love her anymore. Or, we were once in love, but now that love seems to be all gone. Or, he's changed. He's not the man I married, so I don't even know how to love him now. And I always say the same thing. Well, go ahead and love him again. And they always say the same thing back. Oh, no, Father, I'm sorry, you didn't understand us. We don't love each other anymore. And I say the same thing back. Yes, I heard you. Go and love her again. And don't stop loving her until you fall back in love with her. It's the same with the Eucharist. Father, what should I do? I don't believe in the Eucharist anymore. And I respond, well, then why don't you go to Mass, and the next time you're at Mass, choose to believe in the Eucharist. Oh, no, no, Father, you must have misheard me. I don't believe in the Eucharist anymore. To which I respond, I heard you. Go back to Mass next Sunday and make the decision to believe it again. And don't stop believing it until you once again believe in it. Father Merton was fond of saying, God is not a problem that needs to be solved. God is a person that must be encountered. Love between husbands and wives is not a problem to be solved. It must be an encounter between persons. Belief in the Eucharist can never just be an intellectual enterprise. It must be an encounter first, a moment in time with God with no words. I've heard it said that the Eucharist contains and carries the deepest realities, deeper even than language. Besides being God's physical embrace of us, maybe the most important reality of the Eucharist is that it's God's continued incarnation in our lives. Every time you go to Mass, it's God's continued incarnation into our lives. In other words, the Eucharist, the bread of life, the Word made flesh continues to speak to us through the Eucharist and through our very lives. This is what we should be considering on Corpus Christi Sunday. Pope Benedict wrote a book about the Eucharist entitled God is Near Us. I have it on my nightstand, and I read it quite often before I go to bed. And he wrote this: when we talk of the living God, it means this God shows himself to us. He looks out from eternity into time and puts himself into relationship with us. We cannot define him in whatever way we like. He has defined himself and stands in our midst. If you ever spoke to someone who said, "What's the deal with the Eucharist?" this would be a good way to explain what happens in the Eucharist. This is what we celebrate on Corpus Christi Sunday. I don't know how it happens, and I'm a priest. I can't grasp the God of history conveying his very being in bread and wine. All I do know is that when it happens, he looks out from eternity into time and he puts himself here, in this place, with you and me, and he stands in our midst. And for me, this gives life ultimate meaning that I haven't been able to get from anything else thus far. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.